You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome in to this week 9 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. I'm your host, Zion Brown, joined here by WBDG General Manager John Easter, Jeff Robinson of the Franklin Daily Journal, and of course, Ben Davis head football coach, Jason Simmons. So, Coach Simmons, we're going to start off talking about last week's game, the LC game in which the Giants lost 23-20. And one thing that stuck out to me is the Giants scored 3 touchdowns in the first quarter and weren't able to score another touchdown again or another offensive point in the game after that. So just what do you think went wrong that led to the lack of scoring in the rest of the game?
Well, you know, I think for us, when you go back and look at that game in the first quarter, we obviously got off to a hot start, got out 18-0. Our first offensive possession felt like we moved the ball well. We were able to put the ball in space and get Trent and Olajuwon in space. And then, and, you know, I feel like as the game went along, we just didn't take advantage of what they gave us. You know, our second score was a special team score off the block punt. Third score was another offensive score. And then we just, you know, from an offensive standpoint, we didn't take care of what we needed to take care of to take advantage of what they were giving us. You know, it felt like they're second level players. We didn't do a good enough job getting to second level and didn't handle their pressure package great. You know, we're taking on 7-8 man pressures, especially when we got close to the goal line, and we weren't able to take advantage of what they were giving us.
Coach, you had concerns going into Friday night based on the way the practices had gone. What did you see that matched some of your concerns going in?
Well, I think, you know, when you look back at last week and we talked about the ability to handle distractions that week, you know, with fall break coming up and everything else, felt like we were okay at best in practice. Certainly didn't have the laser sharp focus that we've seen at different points. Wednesday's practice I thought was really good. Monday, Tuesday I thought we were just okay. Wednesday's practice I thought was really good. Thursday was a solid Thursday, and then, you know, even during pregame, I just didn't feel like our guys were locked in nearly as well as we needed to be. When we got out 18-0. Sideline had a completely different feel to it. Didn't feel like we were real focused. Didn't feel like we were locked in as well as we could be. Tried to coach through it. Tried to coach it up at halftime. Tried to get it cleaned up and fixed, and just weren't able to get it done. You know, I think some of the issues that we had early in the season, as far as discipline goes, and as far as, you know, just not executing at a high level, came back to bite us. And then, you know, that when we got down, it was, you know, it was a struggle from there because they had a bunch of life and had a bunch of momentum at that point.
Coach, despite you know, not having a great 3 quarters to play, you get into the fourth quarter and you're still right there with a chance to win the game. Comes down to a fourth down play, comes down to a play, not fourth down, but right at the goal line. Talk about what happened there in the last few seconds.
Yeah, we were trying to clock that ball. Didn't get a clean exchange. Trent never really had possession of it. Felt like the officials made the right call, to be honest with you. You know, Trent got tackled. We were trying to throw a fade ball up in the end zone, just trying to see if we could win a jump ball, just because we knew we were in a compressed clock situation. Trent scrambled from the pocket, got tackled at the 2, you know, did what we coached him to do. He ran the football into the umpire, so it got set quicker. We just didn't have a clean exchange, center quarterback exchange. I don't think Trent really ever had possession of the ball. And so when he went to clock it, the officials ruled it a fumble, and I thought live it was the right call. And I thought after going back and watching the film, it was the right call to make. And so, you know, again, that it's not on anybody else, but, you know, but me, really. You know, didn't feel like our guys were as locked in and as ready to go as we should have been. Tried to address it, didn't get it fixed. Got out 18-0 and thought, yeah, you know, maybe we're better than I thought I was, or than I thought we were. And you know, we worried about getting on the bus and getting warm at, you know, right after we got up 18-0. And so, you know, we're up three scores. We throw a pick six, then, you know, to give them a little bit of life. Very next play, next possession, we go three and out. We stall out on the plus side of the field. Then we give up a chunk pass play, you know, because we're not aligned and ready when the ball snapped. Give up a 4th-and-12 scramble, and then we're not aligned and ready when the ball snap again, and they run it in from about 9 yards out. And so that's three plays on a 65-yard possession that we certainly had more control over the play, and where I felt like our lack of discipline hurt us. And then you look at their third score, and it was off of a, you know, second down. They throw a hitch route, and we dive at his ankles and miss. We don't pursue to the ball like a championship level team. We have two other guys in a position to make a play, and they don't make it, and they house it, and that, you know, that gave them the lead 20-18. And you know, then we were, you know, we were fighting from there, and just we didn't do enough to go find a way to win the game.
You talked about the pick six that was thrown. Once again, the Giants just had one of those offensive turnovers that immediately led to the other team scoring on defense. Talk about how much those mistakes just derail your team and your chance to win.
You know, when you look at our defensive performance on Friday, I don't know that we could have gotten any more out of those guys than what we did. We gave up 158 yards, and you give up 158 yards in a Mick football game, you ought to win the game. And you know, I think that speaks to the way our D-line played. I felt like our D-line completely dominated the line of scrimmage last night or Friday night and gave our football team a chance to win. We gave up 158 yards, but three of those plays came on 98 yards. You know, we give up 98 yards on three plays and a touchdown, and our defense should not do that. You know, and so as well as we played holistically and we gave up 158 yards in four quarters to a Mick football team, you know, our giving up big plays hurt us early in the year, and it certainly hurt us again. And then, you know, when you look at it offensively, you look at our points given up per game, we're about even on the year in terms of points per game and points given up per game, but we've given up 36 points that our defense hasn't had a chance to make a play on. And that's completely unacceptable. You know, if you're going to win championships at this level and the 6A level, you can't give the other team six scores throughout the year. And so, you know, that's an area that has to get cleaned up and fixed if we're going to have any success Friday night in the Mick championship game, and if we're going to have any success in the tournament coming up.
Compare the impact that Friday night's turnovers had versus you'd been avoiding turnovers during your recent winning streak in terms of putting yourself on short field situations.
Yeah, we threw two interceptions on Friday. We lost a fumble on a 1st-and-10 play. We got stopped on 4th down 3 times in the second half. We had 7 offensive possessions stall out on the plus side of the field. So when you look at Friday night's game, you know, and you factor in the weather, you factor in the rain, you factor in the fact that we were up 18-0, the fact that they scored 23 unanswered, like it was, I don't know that I've ever been a part of a game like that in 20 years of coaching, to be honest with you. And you know, really, our discipline hurt us on Friday, and that it was about as frustrating a game as you could probably coach in. You know, when you look at our inability to produce offensively, and then, you know, you throw the turnovers on top of it, and it was a long, frustrating weekend.
Coach, you kind of mentioned the weather there. I know those things aren't really excuses, but certainly it was not a beautiful Friday night and a beautiful Friday evening. Did the weather play any factor in the difficulties you had with the snap and with the quarterback center exchange, and then even on special teams, that was a problem too.
You know, I think the weather affected us as much mentally as it did physically. You know, I told our guys before the game, I thought the mentally tougher of the two teams was going to find a way to win, and the more mature of the two teams was going to find a way to win. And I really think that happened on Friday. When you look at the volume of errors and mistakes that we made throughout the game, it was unreal. And you know, I think it proved true. You know, the mentally tougher the two teams had success, and the team that made the least amount of mistakes won the game Friday. And so you got to tip your hat to LC because they took advantage of what we gave them, and you know, they found a way to get a Mick win on Friday.
So, Coach, how do you look to just put this game in the rear view and put it behind you and just focus on what you have ahead this week and then going into the tournament?
Well, you know, certainly we got to get back to work, and we've had to emphasize that with with our group of guys starting on Saturday. It's easy to sit around and lick your wounds, but you know, when you look at where we're at realistically from a life perspective, the sun came up on Saturday morning. We still have an opportunity to play for a MIC championship. And so for us, our mindset has to be a workman's like effort. We have to give a championship effort in practice every day. We have to be mentally locked in, and we have to understand what our responsibility is, play in and play out. We have to go play that next play like a championship's on the line, because that's, you know, for us as a football team, that's exactly where we're at. And if we put forth anything less, then we have nobody to blame but ourselves.
You mentioned that you still have a chance for the MIC championship. Talk about some of the other action that happened on Friday night that has left you in a position to still be playing for a title.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at it, and John and I talked about this way, you know, eight and a half weeks ago now, I felt like our conference was as deep and as even as it's been a long time, you know. And I think every team can play good defense in our league. I think just about every team can run the football in our league. And so if you have those two things, you have a defense and a run game, you're certainly going to have a chance to be in every game. It's going to come down to who makes the least amount of mistakes. And you know, for us, when you look at it, and you know, we had an opportunity certainly to control us. Didn't do that on Friday, and then, you know, I really didn't even look at other scores Friday night, to be honest with you. You know, I was concentrating on us. You know, you wake up Saturday morning and you see the Warren Central got beat by Carmel, and you know, now all of a sudden you're in a four team race, or you're in a four team group to have a chance to share the conference championship. And so, you know, maybe if there's, I don't believe there's any such thing as a good loss, you know, this late in the year, to be honest. But you know, for us, you know, we certainly have a chance to play for a championship on Friday.
All right, that will wrap up segment one here, talking about last week's LC game. When we come back after a break, it'll be the Giant Rewind, and then I will talk to Dylan Finney and Gilbert Minton about this week's game and more. We're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
It's time for the Giant Rewind. A look back at last week's game through the calls of WBDG's announcers.
Gibson gets the snap. Once again, it's an inside handoff to Aspen. He makes a man miss. He dives for the end zone, and he scores on an 8-yard touchdown run. Your Giants take a 1-touchdown lead early in this game with 8:36 remaining in the first quarter on the Elijah Juan Hassel touchdown run. With his feet on his own 1-yard line. And he gets a good snap. Oh, he drops it. He drops the snap. And then pummel him in the end zone and pick up the ball for a touchdown. The Giants score on the punt block right there. And they take a 2-touchdown lead. It's Capone Powell who recovered the ball in the end zone for Ben Davis. Blitz coming, looking like from Lawrence Central. Now Gibson takes a snap. It's a pitch left to Hassel. Hassel gets the first down and more inside the 10. And Hassel is going to walk into the end zone for a Ben Davis touchdown, 25 yards there for Elijah Juan Hassel. Great block set by the Giants there on that play. And that'll end the first half of play. Your Giants lead 18-14 after one half of play over Lawrence Central. Shotgun set, four wide receivers wide. Reggie Mason, he's going to run back as far as he can, and he is going to take a safety on purpose, and he will be touched out of bounds. Smart play there, because now it's a 20-23 game, but it'll be much better field position likely on a kickoff than it will be on a punt. So it's 23-20. The Giants get the safety. Hits to the near side. Shotgun set for Trent Gibson. Now he's looking back, trying to get the play in. Still 13 seconds remaining on the play clock. 19 and a half left on the game clock in this game. Now Gibson looking to throw once again. He's going to try to step on the pocket. He has room to run. He's going to get inside the 5-yard line. Will he get out of bounds? And he's not getting it out of bounds. There's less than 10 left seconds left on the clock. The Giants have to come up and spike it. There's 5 seconds left. 4, 3, and now Gibson gets the spike away as he fumbles the snap. And the game is over. Trent Gibson fumbles the snap. And the Giants will lose this one 23-20. And Coach Simmons and the coaching staff are upset. They think he spiked it rather than fumbling
the
snap.
That is a spike. It should be. What are they doing? How is that not a spike? That's not a fumble.
LC is jumping around in excitement and shock. The Giants are in shock on the far side. And the Giants will come up with a loss here in a 23-20 game.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
You heard it right there. Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network, where now I'm joined by offensive lineman Dylan Finney and defensive lineman Gilbert Minson. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Pretty good myself.
All right, so Dylan, I'll start with you. Talk about the offense. So just after scoring, like I mentioned to Coach Simmons earlier, scoring 18 points in the first quarter on Friday, why do you feel the Giants' offense was really unable to get going throughout the rest of the game and the other three quarters of the ballgame?
Well, I really feel like once we scored the 18 points, we kind of just let off the gas pedal. I think we weren't as focused as we could be. And I think that, you know, once we score the 18 points, we need to keep our foot on the gas pedal so we can, you know, keep scoring.
And so, like you said, you feel you left your foot off the gas pedal. So what do you need to make sure to do just as the season's winding down? It's tournament time. It's must-win time now from here on out, mm-hmm. really. So how do you need to make sure that you can continue to stay on the gas pedal and stay focused throughout a 48-minute ball game here for the rest of the season?
Well, it starts in practice. I believe that you practice how you play. And so if you're focused in practice, you know you're doing everything you're supposed to do, then when it's time to play the game, that's the easy part because you already know what to do and everything.
Yeah, okay, so this is a question for both of you. Just how excited and what are your emotions going into having a chance this Friday to play for a MIC championship?
I can't wait to get it going. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to show that we should have beat OC. I'm ready to show everybody that we can make a stand, that we can win and share the MIC conference and then go into playoffs and do what we got to do.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely big. I think that that we have a chance to win. I think that we can do it, definitely.
Just can't let up.
Yeah, I'm real excited about it.
So how do you make sure you control your emotions and just make sure you stay locked in, although it's really an important game? How do you make sure you can control that going in to Friday?
Just stay focused, basically. If you're focused on the task ahead, then you don't let any outside distractions distract you, and just stay focused on the task at hand.
We can't let up. We let up when we were 18-0. We can't let up like that. That's how we lose games. So if we can keep up the momentum like we had when we were 18-0, then we win the game. Like Coach said, we were pretty sure he said we were 185 rushing guards. That's great. The D-line was playing good. Everybody was playing good. But then we started to let off the gas pedal, and everybody started to get overly excited, and they started to think that we already won the game in the first quarter. You can't do that.
So, Gilbert, just now getting more specific, what do you think the Giants' defense will have to do on Friday night to stop North Central?
I think that the D-line needs to keep doing what they've been doing. They've been doing really good all year. They've been getting stops. They've held them to a lot of not very big runs. And then in the secondary, like the linebackers and the corners, just keep it up. Like, you can't just let off the gas pedal. Like Coach said one time that they didn't even get set for one of the plays. Like, you got to stay focused. You can't just let people run up on you, and you can't just give up big plays like that.
So what have you seen through film, and what have you practiced kind of just to approach this North Central team? What part of this North Central team do you think may give the Giants some problems on Friday night?
Really, I don't think that they're going to give us that much problem. I just think that if we can just keep the defense rolling and everybody does their job, then we can keep a lead and we can end up winning.
And Dylan, what do you think the Giants' offense really had to do on Friday night to make sure they're successful, especially more successful than they were, like we talked about, in those last three quarters last Friday?
So basically, I think that we need to not turn the ball over. I think we need to make smart decisions on where we go with the ball. Like Coach said, we didn't take advantage of what they gave us. So I think that if we do that and limit the turnovers, then we'll be good.
What helps go into just like not turning the ball over and making sure the ball is secured?
Well, it starts with the center. You got to get a clean snap to Trent. And once it's just from Trent not fumbling the ball or not throwing an interception, that's basically just how it happens.
And so, like this week, what do you think North Central will try to do to stop the Giants' offense?
I think their D-line has a couple good stunts that we might not be prepared for as like during the game, but I feel like we're going to be repping in practice all week, and so we'll be able to, you know, handle anything that they can give us.
So what more specific things do you do to stop those stunts and to stop some of the confusion that their defensive line might pose?
We have a lot of O-line, like things that we do on the O-line that is designed to stop specific stuff. All five of our guys are in sync. They know where to go. And so if they know where to go, then they'll do it.
This is another one for both of you. What did you feel? And did you see the sectional draw? And what did you feel? What did you take from it?
I feel like we don't need to underestimate any team. Any team can win at any moment in time. You just have to stay focused and limit turnovers.
I just think that we need to stay focused. Like you said, any team can win at any time. No matter how much we might underestimate a team, they could come back at any point in time of the game and take the lead, take the win, anything.
And also, I feel like that's one of the main reasons we lost the LC game, because like you said, we let off the gas and we started underestimating them. We thought we had won. Like Coach said, we were focused on getting out of the cold and not winning the game. So I feel like if we don't do that this week, then, you know, we can win.
So what is just one overall big thing that has been preached to the team, both sides of the ball, just that has to be done this week to win?
Do your job.
Yeah. Do your job. Play harder, longer.
All right, last question here. This is a question I've asked all the players that have come on this year. Who is your favorite football player and why?
I'm going to have to say my favorite football player is Quentin Nelson. He's guard for the Colts, and I just really like how relentless he is. He never takes a playoff, and he's good.
My favorite player is Odell Beckham Jr. I know it sounds cliche that people say he's overrated, but I just really like him as a person. I follow him on all kinds of social media. I think that he's an amazing football player, and I think he's great.
All right, thank you both, and good luck this Friday against North Central, a game that, once again, the Giants will have a chance to clinch a share of a tie for a MIC championship should they be able to win that game. So when we come back, we will talk about that game with Coach Simmons once again. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
Back once again on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. We're joined once again by WBDG General Manager John Easter, Jeff Robinson of the Franklin Daily Journal, and of course Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. Now we're going to talk about the North Central game this week. We've talked about it multiple times, how the Giants could clinch. There's a lot of scenarios that could happen on Friday, but the Giants win, they can clinch some sort of share of the MIC title with that game. But Coach Simmons, the Panthers come into the game with five straight wins. So how do you look to halt their momentum going into Friday night?
I think when you watch them on film, they're an impressive group. I think they're as aggressive and as sound as any defense we've seen so far this year. And you start to look some of their scores up, and that kind of holds true from a statistical standpoint. They average almost taking the ball away two times a game. They're only giving up about 20 points a game, and so we're gonna have to be willing to take advantage of what they give us. We're gonna have to be patient offensively, and we're gonna have to find a way to finish drives. And those are three things that we certainly struggled with on Friday. And so we got to mature and grow up there offensively in a hurry. I think when you look at them offensively, they're really built around creating big plays. You know, when you look at their wide receiving core, they have a couple of different guys that can take it the distance whenever they get their hands on the ball. In the run game, they can create some unbalanced looks and try and outnumber you at the point of attack to create some big plays in the run game as well. And so for us, you know, we're going to have to try and minimize those big plays. We got to ID their playmakers and make sure that they're not in a position where they can beat us. Got to make sure we keep the quarterback in the pocket and not let him extend plays. And we have to try and match numbers when they get into unbalanced formations, especially in the boundary. We're going to have to make sure that we match numbers and make sure we within tackle and space. I think when you look at this game too, Zion, I think it's going to be really important for us to win the kicking game battle. They have a returner that people have kicked to the last couple of weeks. And you watch him when he gets his hands on the ball, it's like, nah, he's got a chance to take this, and he does. You know, and you look at the Carmel game, they had a kickoff return for a touchdown, start second half, and Hamilton turns around, takes a punt back that ended up getting called back with a penalty. And so when the game's on the line, we can't give him an opportunity to beat us. And, you know, he's done that to people. You know, he's made big plays in the Carmel game that helped swing the momentum to their favor. Also, you know, he took the opening kickoff of the game back against Pike for a touchdown. So, you know, we're going to have to be disciplined in all three phases of the game to take what they give us and not allow their best players to beat us on Friday.
North Central's really been a program that's kind of, for the most of the years of the MIC that I've been following, they've been in the lower half of the standings, it seems like. Coach Kevin O'Shea came in and seems to be getting some solid seasons up at North Central. What has Coach O'Shea brought that others were not able to bring to North Central?
Well, I think he's brought a lot of confidence, Jeff. You know, he had a tremendous amount of success up at Lafayette Central Catholic when he was up there. Yeah, I think he got to North Central at the right time too. You know, they had a group of seniors that just graduated last year that have had a high level of success from the time that they were fifth and sixth graders all the way through high school. And so, you know, when you have a class like that coupled with a head coach and a coaching staff that coaches ball at a really high level, you you get some wins early that people thought you might not be able to, you can certainly swing the momentum quickly. You know, I think, and you know, for them, you know, they've won some games. They won a sectional last year, and so, you know, they've really built on that momentum and have allowed that momentum to continue to carry them on to more success.
Last year, it seemed like they kind of caught fire, but behind Liam Thompson at quarterback, who was one of those seniors that graduated from a year ago, where has North Central been able to follow up his departure?
Yeah, when you look at them on defense, they had seven starters back from last year's group, and so they were a young group defensively. They play extremely hard defensively. They understand Jimmy Pappas's defensive system really well. They execute it at a really high level, and he cuts them loose. Now you can tell they spend time on tackling. You can tell they spend time knowing and understanding what everybody else's job is in terms of defending formations. And whereas last year they could go out and put up 30 to 40 on any team, you know, I think this year's group is going to show up with a real lunch pail mindset. They're going to beat you up defensively. They're going to take advantage of whatever they can get in the kicking game. And then they're going to go find a way to generate points, whether it's with unbalanced formations and big personnel in the run game, or whether it's you know trying to pitch it out there to their wide receivers and try and get them in space in one-on-one matchups and see if they can go win those matchups.
So, Coach, let's talk a little bit about the Mick and where the Mick stands right now. Obviously, Center Grove and Warren, they're done. Warren Central finishes their Mick season at 5-2, losses to Ben Davis and Carmel. Center Grove finishes their Mick after the just dreadful start they had. They finish up 4-3 in the Mick, so they're almost in this log jam at the top. But all right, here we go. So you got Carmel at Lawrence Central. Carmel, if they win, they get a share of the Mick. So Lawrence Central has a potential to play spoiler there. North Central at Ben Davis. Obviously, we're talking about that game here right now. And then Pike at Lawrence North is the third Mick game on the docket. Center Grove will play Cathedral, and Columbus Sycamore will be at Warren. So they are, as we said, they are done. But the scenarios are: you win, you get a share of the Mick. North Central already has that share of the Mick title. So if the Panthers were to lose to you guys, then, and Carmel wins, then half the conference ties for the Mick championship. There is no tiebreaker in the Mick. So it's quite a scenario, one that I've never seen before. It's never happened before. We've had three teams tie for a Mick title, but never four. So talk, I know you addressed it a little bit earlier in the first segment of the show, but just talk about the Mick this year and just have you ever seen anything like this in a conference, period, where four teams, not only do they tie, but they're not tying at like 4-3, they're tying at 5-2. That would be the record.
Yeah, I have not. You know, I've been in three different conferences in 20 years of coaching, and I've never seen a situation where four teams have tied for a conference race. You know, obviously that's all predicated on us having success on Friday against North Central, and Carmel having success against Lawrence Central. But you know, you could have as few as one team winning it. You could have as many as four laying claim to a share of it. And so, you know, for us, if we're going to make this thing a four team deal, we have to get back to what we had success with when we won three straight. We got to play disciplined football. We have to play with a high level of conviction. We have to play the next play with a high level of conviction, and we have to trust each other. You know, and playing complementary football gives us an opportunity to build that trust and to build that momentum that we can sustain, you know, through all three phases of the game.
You look at the four teams that are tied right now or have a potential to be tied at the end. As you said, if North Central wins on Friday. They win outright. By the way, that's the first time that program has ever won any conference championship, which is really hard to believe, but they were independent for a long time, just like Ben Davis was before the MIC conference. They had been, I think, in the Central Suburban Athletic Conference, or just like BD was, and for several years, and just hadn't won that. And then they win their first conference championship, so hats off to Coach O'Shea and North Central. They could do it outright on Friday night if they were to beat the Giants. Obviously, you don't want that to happen. So what do you think Coach O'Shea is telling his team so that they're not satisfied on Friday night? And do you think that might be a factor in this game?
Yeah, if the roles are reversed right now, you know, we're going to tell our football team we're worried about winning the next play. You know, we got to worry about winning the next play. We don't want to share anything. I mean, and certainly they want to try and keep the momentum that they have going right now. I mean, if we go to Lawrence Central and, you know, we start out 18-0, if we finish that game at the same rate that we started it, we're sitting here right now talking about keeping our momentum going into the tournament and having an opportunity to win a MIC championship. And so, you know, he's got to keep his guys focused on playing the next play and winning the next one, and trying to keep that momentum heading into it. You know, obviously when you look at the sectional draw and who they drew in the sectional and what that sectional is going to take to win it, you know, that he's got to keep his guys locked in. You know, he's got to keep his guys locked in on what's given them success over the last 5 weeks. And, you know, that's been playing great defense, being timely in the run game, being timely in the passing game, and taking advantage of kicking game opportunities when they get them. And so, you know, for us, we have to get back to what we had success with over that 3-week run where we certainly felt good about ourselves. But I think it's going to be a great environment here on Friday. You know, I would be shocked if it's not. You know, certainly there's going to be a lot of attention given to this game. And so for us, we're going to have to be able to lock in on what our job is and really, really go try and win the next play with a great deal of conviction.
So I talked to your players about it earlier, but what did you make of the sectional draw and just the sectional overall?
Yeah, the sectional draw is what it is. You know, it's one of those deals that, you know, when it comes out on Sunday night, you take a look at it, you look at scenarios, you try and play things out in your head, and about an hour later, Zion, honestly, I can tell you exactly what it was at our house. You know, we had a couple of coaches over. We were watching an NFL game, watching the sectional draw. Draw came out. We sat there and talked through, you know, we're obviously home week one. If this team wins, you know, we're at home week two. If they don't, you know, it all is what it is. You know, for us, we spent about 20 minutes on that, and then we got right back to talking about North Central and what we felt like we had to do from a defensive perspective to slow them down or keep them out of the end zone, and what we needed to do from an offensive perspective then to find ways to go score points. And so it is what it is. I mean, if you spend too much time worrying about that, you ain't taking care of what's in front of you, and we're a football team right now that has to go take care of what's in front of us. And, you know, we know our next game after this one's going to be against Perry Meridian, and we're not guaranteed anything after that, to be honest. And so, you know, we certainly have, you know, we have an opportunity to go win a MIC championship. It'd be the fourth MIC championship here in the last 15 years. And so, it's these championships, these conference championships, aren't something that have just come regularly here at Ben Davis. So, you know, our 2019 group has a chance to make their mark on the history of this program, which tells a huge story. And we have an opportunity to get our momentum back going into the tournament. And that's really our main focus right now.
Take a step back, though, from your own personal situation. Obviously, you've drawn Perry Meridian in your sectional, but look at some of the other sectionals throughout the state. What stood out to you most about the Class 6A tournament draw?
You know, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you much about the North brackets at all. You know, I think Lafayette Jeff drew Crown Point. Is that right? Or they drew Merrillville. So I'm 0-1 there. But that's two teams that have been in the top 10 this year. You get into sectional two, and I couldn't even tell you how that sectional shook out, to be honest with you. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. Sectional three, I think Noblesville drew Homestead, is that right? So, yeah. So, I mean, I can tell you who they have, and I know Carmel plays HSC. You know, and a lot of that is just, you know, guys that I chat with all season long, trade text messages with, trade emails with. So, you know, you certainly pay attention to those guys and see where they're at. I know Columbus East and Drew Center Grove, you know, you pay attention to who the McFoes have. And then in the other sectional, you have the Battle of Lawrence Township again, and then you have Warren Central and North Central. So I can tell you a little bit about those sectionals. Obviously, Brownsburg and Avon, I know they play week one as well, just because Pike plays Zionsville. So I mean, I can tell you a little bit about what that sectional draw looked like. I think there's intriguing matchups. I think there's teams going into the tournament that could certainly be dangerous and be tough outs if you just look at their records. I think you have to be careful with some of those groups and you look at scores on Saturday morning, which I do, and there's some teams that are playing better football now than they did earlier in the year. There are matchups that you're certainly going to keep your eye on. You know, for us, we're paired up with sectional five if we're fortunate enough to win our sectional and get to the regional. And so, you know, that's certainly a sectional as we get into 2 weeks from now, or even get into, you know, we get into 2 weeks from now, you know, when our game's done, if we're fortunate enough to win, that's the first place we're going to go look, you know, who advanced in that sectional. And so who do we need to, you know, start to have in the back of our mind a little bit and still make sure that we keep our focus on what's right in front of our nose.
You look at the draw for your sectional, probably came pretty close to where it would be if it were seeded. You look, though, at Brownsburg and Avon having to face each other right off the bat. Where do you feel in terms of the prospect of the tournament eventually being seeded?
Yeah, I think if there's ever a year to go see the tournament, Jeff, it's next year, especially from a 6A perspective. You know, I think it's hard to justify seeding football throughout and making a wholesale run at seeding next year. But the reason to entertain the idea of seeding 5A and 6A next year is because there's going to be changes in those two classes. And so when there's only 1 year left in that cycle. So you take sectional five, for example, next year, and Carmel's supposed to be coming down into sectional five. Noblesville comes back into sectional four. Sectional three adds Warsaw, I believe. So if you're going to change it, if you're going to change up the sectionals for 1 year, that would be an opportunity to run a pilot year and look to seed 5A and 6A. And the reason you can do that in a pilot year situation like that is you have an opportunity to compare travel. You have an opportunity to compare sectional finances, you know, and then you have an opportunity to look at regional and semi-state level type matchups and decide if that's what's best for the sport of football. So if you're asking me my feelings on it, that would be the one time that I would go to the IHSAA and say, hey, this is the 1 year that it's worth it. You know, you see the North 1 through 16, you see the South 1 through 16, and realistically, travel's not an issue. You're talking about going from Columbus to Pike. Well, those Columbus North and Pike were in the same conference for 15 years. And so that drive obviously is not that big of a deal if it was good enough for 15 years. So that would be the longest drive in 6A South, conceivably. And so, you know, or maybe Brownsburg to Columbus East or whatever it may be. And so that would be the 1 year that I would say, hey, you have a chance to look at it. You can break the sectional levels up into 14 clusters. You know, they have a sectional meeting just like they do every year. They figure out how they're going to handle finances just like they do every year. Then when it gets to the regional level matchup, those finances go to the IHSAA. Semi-state's the same way. And then, you know, you have an opportunity to play that tournament out and just see what it looks like. I mean, I think we're at the point right now with football where they have to give it a look and at least entertain the idea. And what they want to do with it is certainly up to them from there on out. But, you know, I think at the 5A and 6A level, you can certainly entertain seeding and have a good idea of where everybody's at. I think in the 1A through 4A level, I think it makes it a little bit tougher when you get into 8-team sectionals and you start to manipulate some of that. You seed 1 and 2, blind draw the rest. And some of those variables the IHSA hasn't been a real big fan of. But, you know, we certainly find a way to seed individual sports like wrestling, like swimming, and some of those. So it's, you know, it's certainly worth exploring the opportunity of seeding football at some point.
Back to Friday night, Coach. Obviously, you're still in fall break. I know, Mike Kirshner sitting in that seat for several years just would rail about the fun things that happen with fall break and the team, just how it's very difficult to get everybody locked in. So, Coach, as you head into a week of fall break where you don't have students this week, how is that a challenge preparing for Friday?
Yeah, you know, we have to make sure transportation's taken care of first and foremost. You know, we have great support from our touchdown club. They have brought lunch in for our guys the first 2 days of the week, Monday and Tuesday, and our guys have gotten a chance to get something to eat before they leave, which I think is really important. We've kept our guys on their school schedule to where we start working at 8:30 just like they would on a school day. We have them occupied here till 12:15. And that gives them an opportunity to get up and get moving. Gives us an opportunity to spend 4 hours with them, which has allowed us really to lengthen meetings and make sure we still get our on-field work in so we can get locked in and know exactly what's coming from North Central. And it gives our guys a reason to go to bed early, because we got to get up and get after it. I can tell you, we've had zero people late this week, through the first 2 days, which, I think that's a big deal for us. It just tells you our guys are locked in, ready to go. And our first two practices of the week have been fairly solid. So, we got a day. We got to be better tomorrow than what we were today. And then we got to be locked in on Thursday. And then Friday, we got to show up with a great deal of conviction, ready to go. Because, we have an opportunity to do something for the fourth time in 15 years here. And, we can't lose sight of what's right there in front of us.
All right. That will wrap up this week 9 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks once again to Coach Simmons. Don't forget, Friday night, and once again, another chance for the Giants to win the MIC as they will play North Central at home. If you can't make it out, coverage will start with the rewind of this Inside Ben Davis Football at 6. And Kobe Clark, Gavin Miller, and myself will be on the call with kickoff at 7. No Inside Ben Davis Football or game next week as it is the 6A bye week. And thank you as well to Dylan Finney and Gilbert Manson for joining us today. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.